Goldline's gonna tell me where the light is. Goldline's gonna tell me where the light is. Take our hands out of control. Take our hands out of control. Now tell me what you saw.
Hi there, and welcome to Drunk History Presents The Dark Ride, a Disney Parks podcast hiding in a drinking game. Here we will talk about and rate all of your favorite and not-so-favorite rides and attractions, and maybe catch some interesting facts along with our buzz. My name is Ryan, and I'm here with my co-host Adrian. We are two diehard fans of the House of Mouse, and we started this show because we know that cool people, y'all like this stuff too. So we're here to normalize all you adulting Disney files and have a few beverages while we're at it. Now that that's out of the way, let's see what we should talk about. When you're in the mood for a Broadway-style show featuring all of your favorite songs from a Disney animated classic, as well as aerial acrobatics, colorful characters, and a sing-along competitive animalistic debauchery, look no further than Animal Kingdom's Festival of the Lion King. I mean, when I watched this show, it was like a Nat Geo horror show. The lions ate the zebras and the monkeys sat in the corner fondling themselves, while a man in a furry costume did his best masked singer impression. Come to think of it, I think I went to a different show. Let's get some beastly drinks and some wild animal facts, and we'll be right back. Iron, like a lion. Hi, Adrian. How are you?
Hi, Rye. How are you? I was going to say Jumbo.
Oh, Jumbo, Adrian.
Because we're in Animal Kingdom today, so Jumbo.
We are. Jumbo, Adrian. Adrian, what is black and white and red all over?
A newspaper?
No, it'd be a zebra after pissing off Mufasa.
Oh, that's dark.
Yes, it is.
That's dark. We started our last episode talking about death, and here we are again.
If I am my way, then we would talk about death in every episode.
It's part of life.
It is part of the circle of life. And it moves us all.
That's a banger.
Speaking of Mufasa, we just got the first trailer for another Disney live action.
Spoiler alert, he dies.
I love these like live action, but they're talking animals. You know, like, why is Disney continuing to do this? This is Mufasa, the Lion King. So he's just like, you know, ripping the plume from his son, I guess.
Well, he is the Lion King.
Well, isn't Simba the Lion King?
I mean, he was the son of the king.
Didn't he become the king? Wasn't
that
the
very end?
And all of Lion King 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Well, does that count?
I thought so. The show that we're talking about today takes place. I
thought
think,
the Lion King 2. If it's like based on Hamlet, is really based on Mufasa. The Lion King is the father.
Maybe I'm
wrong. I don't know.
It's all about James Earl Jones, huh?
I mean, how could you the kid from Home Improvement or James Earl Jones?
Like, all right, fair enough.
It's James Earl Jones.
Mufasa is a lion.
The voice of an angel.
You just say that because he voiced Darth Vader.
Oh, and he's so good at it.
If any of you guys,
and also Coming to America, my favorite comedy of all time.
True.
He's another king in that as well.
That's
and
true.
Nala, who is his wife in Coming to America, is the one who voices Nala.
I didn't know that.
Is his wife, I'm sorry, not his wife in Lion King, yes.
That's amazing.
I know.
I love that.
I do too. It's one of my favorite fun facts.
Wait,
it's
so
actually
just, like,
fun.
They just like watched
they
Coming
like,
to
oh,
America
coming
and they were
to
like,
America.
just get them.
Why not have Eddie Murphy do
doing Simba?
Well, when he was older, at least.
Yeah, that would have been great.
I know.
Or Arsenio Hall.
No.
He could be Zazu.
He could be Zazu, for sure. Yeah. He is Zazu.
He's alive. He is the real version of
also,
Zazu.
Also, I love Zazu.
Mufasa the Lion King coming out. I don't really know why, but they're making it. Of course, Lin-Manuel is back to do another Disney soundtrack.
Oh, he is?
Yet again.
He's
like the new Josh Gad of Disney.
He's like the Sherman brother.
He is the Sherman. He's the Shermanator.
Yeah.
Yeah, the single brother.
Why do you think they haven't had him do an actual Hamilton movie? Not just showing the play, but like I would love it if he did Hamilton as a movie.
Well, coming this Christmas.
I mean, it would be huge.
Hamilton.
It's going to happen eventually.
Hamilton 2.
All they do is just...
Burr's back. It's a horror flick.
Guess who's back? Burr is back.
Fuck.
Burr is a great character.
Let's get some drinks, right?
Yeah. Well, sounds like we had them.
Yeah, right. I think the audience can tell that this is not our first episode of today.
No, it's not.
Today we'll be drinking a couple of Lion's Tales. This is an old school cocktail. The Lion's Tale first appeared in the Cafe Royale cocktail book, which was published in 1937. So it's like a Prohibition era drink. Old school. 2 ounces of bourbon, half an ounce of allspice, a dram. Half ounce of lime juice, freshly squeezed, 1 teaspoon of simple syrup, 2 dashes of Angostura bitters, and garnish with a twist. So it's kind of like a bourbon daiquiri with a little bit of spiciness to it.
I'm nervous, Ryan.
No, this is very tasty.
Okay. You know, bourbon scares me. I feel like I'm going to be walking into a wall.
Well, you know, we're trying to figure out a new, we're doing Festival of the Lion King today.
Yeah.
We've never done a show.
No, we haven't.
I don't know how we went that long
without doing a show.
Yeah. This is our 457th episode?
This feels like it.
Yeah. I think that, we're going to have to come up with a new way to rate and review.
Yes, and we did.
Drink that show. So we'll get to that in a little bit, but I thought maybe we could get some little info first.
Well, yeah, let's let the people know what this is.
Let's let them know what it's all about. So this is Festival of the Lion King. It's at the Harambe Village in Animal Kingdom, although it's also located in a version in Hong Kong Disneyland in their Adventureland in the Theater of the Wild.
That's a good name.
Yeah. And then there's been other versions of a Lion King show. A bunch of them, all over the place. But none of them were, Festival of the Lion King. It was other spoofs of
iterations.
The Broadway show.
You okay, know? Yeah.
This is a Broadway-style show featuring all of our favorite songs from the 1994 Disney animated classic, The Lion King, as well as aerial acrobatics, colorful characters, and sing-alongs. Everybody loves these songs, these Elton John banger bops.
I mean, Elton John and Phil Collins were...
You know, everybody's up on Phil Collins.
With Tarzan?
I don't...
You didn't like it?
Yeah, I think maybe this indicated the end of the Disney Renaissance to me. I was already out.
Okay.
I think when Tarzan happened. And so, I never, got it. And the songs they never did it to me.
You'll Be in My Heart?
It's a sad one. Yeah, sure. But it never, grabbed me by the heartstrings and yanked.
That one hurts me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not like Dumbo, that Dumbo song, The Baby of Mine. Oh, man.
They use You'll Be in My Heart in the fireworks and they show like mom and dads with little kid, and it's just it's really rough.
Yeah,
it's a cute song about parents and children.
Sure. Yeah,
but
I don't know.
But some people are robots, and that's obviously what you are.
Well, you know,
so
we are the future.
Back to your AI that you're reading.
The Festival of the Lion King is currently the longest running show at Disney's Animal Kingdom, along with It's Tough to Be a Bug. Mm. It's Tough to Be a Bug is on the cutting board, so very soon it will go the way of Zootopia.
It's tough to be a show these days.
It is. It's tough to be a show. However, it was originally supposed to be just a temporary attraction.
Yeah. Like a festival, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they... When Animal Kingdom opened in 1998, Imagineers had originally planned to open a land called the Beastly Kingdom, but due to budget constraints, they pulled back on that, and they did a temporary land called Camp Mini Mickey. And the Camp Mini Mickey was the original home to Festival of the Lion King, which debuted in an open-air theater and stayed that way for quite some time. And then when Pandora came around... In fact, January 5th, 2014, it closed down along with the rest of Camp Minnie Mickey. And Disney announced that they would bring it back with a new, its new home, which is in the Harambe Theater. And then all of a sudden it was air conditioned and enclosed and nicer experience to be at.
It makes sense because I feel like now that I know that, it does have a feel of being sort of, and could be an open air show.
Sure.
Like it has a feel of not like a stick because of the way like the ring, the in the round seating and
it's
all.
It's very circus-esque.
Circus-y and, feels temporary.
I'm wondering obviously there were some changes that were made. You know, there's a lot of acrobatics and like almost trapeze.
Yeah, people parts. Are real thirsty for those monkey guys. Not me.
You heard it here first.
Not me, but I. You should hear some of the things I hear.
Oh, should we now?
No, you shouldn't. We'll get thrown off the air.
There's like a lot of the monkeys doing trapeze and stuff like that, and that couldn't have happened in the open air. I mean,
sure.
I'm sure they were like jumping around and doing trampoline shit, but
yeah,
they can swing. So
they're really good.
Yeah, they're fun.
I've saw sometimes when we were on the when they used to have the Magical Express, they had a video that played when you were going back to the airport, probably distract you from the sadness of your trip ending. That was about the acrobats in that show, and it was really interesting. They work real hard, really well trained acrobats doing that stuff.
Totally, I was watching a video of acrobats getting ready, like on the cruise ship. You know, those Royal Caribbean ships have like the aqua dome in the back of the ship where they do like high diving and stuff like that. Like on a moving boat, which
that's
just
insane.
Seems insane
that's
to me.
Insane.
Yeah, and from like really high too. Like this isn't like pretend high. It's like they're up like 80, 90 feet.
Jeez,
it's pretty wild. And and like the video was all about like their training and stuff like that. And they're all like essentially Cirque du Soleil freaks. doing the stuff on the open seas. If I had the skill, I think I would. That sounds like a pretty good life.
Going to the Aquadome and jumping. It's wild for a crowd.
I mean, like...
Sounds like the Thunderdome.
Like, being a niche performer on a cruise ship where you only have to perform, like, twice a week or whatever.
Right.
But you get, like... Those performers get, like, real rooms. They're not, like... it's not
as,
like...
They have a bathroom in their room.
Exactly, yeah.
They don't have a roommate.
Exactly. So I think it would be pretty sweet.
Well, I heard at Disney, the highest paid... is the person who does Tinkerbell at
who flies?
The flying, and only has to work. That's the only time that they work is during the show. So they get paid for like 8 hours, but it's
like 15 minutes worth of work.
It's not even. Yeah. What is it?
Well, they got
2 minutes.
They got to put on the leotard.
Yeah.
They got to climb the mountain.
Yeah. And like, it must be so cool. The one thing you got to do is like, you get in that moment and everyone's like screaming. Because people go bananas for that.
I mean, she's cool.
It's pretty cool. Like, I've seen a picture of like it from the top where it shows like the zip line going. It's like, it's a wild thing. Anyway.
Would you do that? Would you do the zip line if you could?
If I could, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be pretty sweet. They should probably open that up.
That would be an experience.
Yeah, for real.
Would you rather spend one night in Cinderella's castle or do the zip line from the castle to Tomorrowland?
Zip line.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
I'll take this the one night. But still, they're both cool.
Yeah, I would do the one night if I was allowed free reign to like go around. But I feel like they lock you in there.
At night, they do. Yeah, no, you can't just walk around the park.
I want to like walk around the park and like talk to the guy painting and stuff like that. Ask him how his night's going. Like, talk to the topiary guy cutting with, like, scissors and stuff.
Pet the cats that they let out.
You got to clean up those mice somehow. Sorry, Cindy.
Yeah.
Poor Gus Gus.
Yeah, and, Gus Gus and Jack Jack got to earn their keep.
For real.
Not
for
Jack real. Jack. Gus Gus and Jack.
Jacques. Maybe Jacques, it is Jacques. Jack Jack. Maybe it's just a mouse and a baby. Free reign around the kingdom.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, well, I think... Let's get into our game, all right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, cool. We'll be right back.
Weep for yourself, my man. You'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man. You're not as brave as you were at the start.
rate yourself and rake yourself. Take all the courage you have left and waste it on fixing all the problems that you made in your own head. But it was not your fault but mine.
Okay, all right. So we're going to do Drink That Show. This is basically the same rules as we typically have for Drink That Ride. It's a Drink the Difference game. We're going to rank the ride on a series of categories and take a drink after each one. Shittier the show, drunker you're going to get. Luckily, this is a good show that we're starting off with because these are pretty strong drinks. And,
bourbon. Yeah. Thanks, Ry.
You're welcome. Remember, if the category is like out of five and you rank it a three, you're going to take two sips, chugs, shots, gargles, nips, you know, whatever you want of your favorite
gulps
beverage.
Of air.
Whether it be a lion's tail, glass of sparkling water, whatever you'd like, just drink it up.
Or just yell out your score to the radio like you're here with us.
Yeah. Yell at the radio.
Yell at us. Be like, no, you idiots, that's a five.
Do it in public. Okay. We've got categories, and we have an extra category now.
Okay. What are they?
So we have Q and pre-show. This is worth 5 points. Stage and set design, that's worth 5 points. The costumes and pageantry.
Oh, yeah.
That's 5 points. What is pageantry?
Just like the, you know, like all the...
All the stuff?
Extra plume and the stuff.
Okay. So like fireworks would be part of like pageantry.
Yeah, like if they're holding anything, they got fans, they got, you know.
Okay.
Like costumes and pageantry. It's like kind of a stage thing.
Okay. All the stuff.
All the stuff. All okay. The crap.
Story and humor.
Okay.
Songs and score, the length of the show, and then the dark, these are all worth 5 points, right? And then the heart level, which is kind of like our dark horse category for this round, this is going to be worth 20 points. So all of the technical rounds give us a score of 30, and then 20 brings us home to 50 total points. Up for grabs.
Okay. I just looked it up. Pageantry means like the colors, the, you know, like the whole bravado.
The colors of the wind?
No, that's the wrong movie.
It's the right movie to me. Okay. So we start at the start, and that's, you know, no matter what, we're starting at the start.
You have to.
And that is the cue. Yeah. / pre-show in this case. With like all Disney shows, they kind of ask you to show up 20 to 30 minutes beforehand for standby. So depending on where you stand in lines, guests will have to wait here in either an open air queue in the sun or in a covered queue within the Harambe Theater. So it can be very, very hit or miss.
Yeah.
It can be extremely hot in this queue if you are stuck on the outside. Now, if you're stuck on the outside, it's probably that you got there a little bit later and you're not going to have to wait for as long, but you're still like stuck in that hot sun, especially if it's or rain or whatever, you know, up to whatever Florida has to throw at you. They sort of just like, as far as like a place to wait, they kind of just like corral you into a pen of switchbacks.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like I'm being corralled.
Yeah. It's like pretty not so pleasant. That being said, like the outdoor theater that it's in is like very well, like it's very immersive to like the Harambe area, the marketplace and this area of Animal Kingdom.
I was going to say it looks right. And like it, and this whole vibe of like being in Africa, being in the Harambe market is correct.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's not the queue. It doesn't feel like a lot of thought went into the physical queue.
No, it still kind of has that like temporary vibe
thing.
To
yeah,
it. Yeah. Even though it's not temporary in this location, never was temporary in this location. That was you know back where Pandora was. This has Lightning Lane.
Yes, it does.
Available for it, and it has Genie Plus available for it. So there are ways to like kind of mitigate, you know, having to deal with this if you choose to go those routes.
This is one of those ones where if you don't have the Genie Plus for it, and you think you're going to show up, you know, 5 minutes before, you might not get in. And because I've experienced that in the past, where it's like they're like we're full.
Yeah, I've also experienced it.
And I don't like shows where I have to get to them, like, super early. I don't like to be sitting around waiting for a 15-minute show to start.
Not unless there's a decent pre-show or something. And This one
kind Well, they of... do stuff with the audience here.
Yep.
Are we counting that in this category? So, like, they do the thing where, like, your team, so elephant...
I'm counting that.
Okay, this. All right.
So, you know, like, the pre-show, as far as, like, waiting, is nothing. Like, you're just in a pen like an animal. Mm-hmm. And then they bring you in and make you make noises like an animal. So,
the pre-show... the animal kingdom, Ryan.
This is true. The pre-show begins with us learning some Swahili and doing bad animal impressions for 5 minutes in the... kind of like the most cliche, you know, opening to a show.
Very, you know, circusy.
It's very circusy. It's very theme park showy.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
It's...
I don't love if I'm the elephant and having to do the trunk thing and all. I feel kind of like a...
Yeah. I mean, I love doing an elephant noise, but that's the only one that I would like to do. Like the warthog, like, come on. Like,
do they even make noises?
They make them go...
Oh, yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, like,
fuck you, bro.
That's really rude.
Yeah, that's rude.
That sounds like a crime.
So the reason that they do this, right, they have the elephant, the giraffe, the warthog, and the lion. And the reason that they do this, and we'll get into it in a little bit, is because, like, they happen to already have those floats for a parade that was based on Lion King. And then they just repurposed the floats to be part of this the corners of this show.
Interesting.
Because it was a temporary show. And so they were just like, all right, well, these are the themes. You know, we got these things going, so make that fucking warthog noise.
Okay.
Like, okay, that's what I'll do. So the show is hosted by four performers dressed in costume, beautiful costumes. They're inspired by a traditional African dress. Each has a Swahili name. I'm probably going to butcher these. There's Kumi, which means masculine and strong. There's Nakawa, which is good looking. Kibibi, which is princess. That would also be you. And Zawadi, which is the gift.
That would also be me.
It would all be you.
You could be the man.
I don't have a spot in here. You're masculine and strong. You're good looking. You're the princess, and you're the gift. I have no place in this.
And I'm the warthog.
You know, even with its, like, more exotic subject matter behind this, like, it really is like every other theme park show. You know, like, one of the actors will single out and then start hitting on a handsome looking guy, you know, in the crowd and make jokes about one of the other actors being like a brat.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, oh, I'm the good looking one. You know, like it's very typical.
Yeah.
But we come to theme parks for a reason. We like that it's typical.
Like the cheese.
We, you know, yeah. We like the cheese. A little bit of cheese on my sandwich is nice. So, this is to me not where this motherfucker shines.
No, it just shine in other areas.
Yeah. So,
but I don't like the physical cue, but I do like the silly goofy stuff once you're in there.
Okay.
So I'm not going to.
You don't like
it.
The cue, but you like the pre-show.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always have fun with it.
Okay.
So I'm not going to tank it. I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah. I was originally at a 3. I really think that if there's one place that it can, like, lose the points, it's probably here. So I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay. You can drink 3.
Yeah.
Shots of bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll drink 2.
Mm-hmm. Are you letting this, like, the fact that this drink is harsh, are you letting this judge your...
Yes.
You're like, 5. It gets 5s all across the board. okay, next up we have the stage and set design. This is also out of 5 points. The Harambe Theater is an enclosed theater in the round. It's air conditioned.
Yeah.
Making it the best place in Animal Kingdom, period. It could be a complete dud and still have you know, be a winner. Just
sitting there for the whole day.
Yeah. The show has, like we just said, it has 4 areas. Bleacher style seating, not so nice.
But it's still seating.
It's seating, you know. Your classic kind of circus setup where the action happens in the middle and you're kind of the action is fed through the corners.
The good thing about anything in the round is that there's usually no bad
viewing. No bad seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is nice. All of, like, the new characters, puppets, acrobats, scene changes, everything like that is happening through the corners right next to where you're sitting, which is nice. The 4 sections, as we just said, are elephant, giraffe, warthog, or lion. This is, you know, it's a really great break from the heat.
And even, like, the ceiling has, like, circus kind of lights at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So it just really does, and, like, the festival of the Lion King, it does feel like it's this festival that came into town to do this show, and then it's going away.
Yeah, and it does have like the tenty vibe. Like there aren't columns.
Yeah, you know, no, like, it feels like you're in a bothering tent. You.
Which is great. No real bad view, like Adrian said. The show features props and floats reused from, this is the show that it was previously in, Disneyland's Lion King Celebration parade.
I mean, now that you say that, it makes sense, because that Simba thing looks like a float.
Yeah, I guess it had like a 3-year run right before this show opened as a temporary. It became so popular that the theater was enclosed in 2003. So that's when we got the air conditioning was in and the, you know, nicer seats and the lighting package and all that kind of stuff. Other than the floats, set and stage design wise, it's very minimal.
It's very minimal. I'm trying to think, like, in comparison to other shows now. The other ones are like Beauty and the Beast is like on a stage, mm-hmm. and like Finding Nemo
stage. Yeah, same thing with Little Mermaid stage.
This is different. We're not in a theater watching a stage. We're in a, and again, I kind of like it.
I dig it. I do wish that this still definitely to me gives off temporary vibes.
It does,
and it's been around for, you know, 25 years. So.
What would you do to make it not feel temporary, or do you think would take away from it?
No, I think that leave everything with the show part, like, kind of identical to what it is, but just like the backdrop of where you are, have it be jungly.
Ah.
You know, like kind of like you're in a rainforest cafe with a show in front of you.
You want like this in the tiki room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you want some things going on.
I want some stuff going on. It doesn't even have to be like animatronics or anything, like just some, like, leaves and vines and flowers and, you know, for it to feel a little bit more lived in.
You don't think that maybe they're trying to, like, be very authentic, even though this is an IP sort of thing?
And well, then, like, thatch it up or something, you know?
Okay.
If they want to be, like, authentic and you're, like, in a longhouse or something.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm in a yurt.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm not giving it a 5,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to give it a 3.
For me, this one gets a 3.
Okay.
So we're tied up there, each having a lovely 2 drinks.
2.
Okay, next up we have the costumes and the pageantry. Oh, that pageantry.
This is going to be a good one.
136 African-inspired costumes are used in Festival of the Lion King, and they are worn by 50 cast members, which is huge. That perform 7 to 8 shows daily.
Wow.
Those costumes must reek.
Aww.
I mean, like, they're very fancy costumes.
They
like,
are.
There can't be that many duplicates of them.
No, but I'm sure they're cleaning them. That's a huge production, everybody. You'd be grateful for this stuff. 50 performers.
That's wild.
7 shows a day?
Yeah, that's wild. It's wild.
Thank you for your service.
So several of the show's first performers went on to perform on Broadway, which is cool.
Amazing.
Other costumes and pageantry stuff. The Simba puppet, which is like on one of those big floats.
Yeah.
It's 12 feet tall.
Holy moly. Yeah. Okay, maybe he is the Lion King.
And very, like, very cool looking, this big puppet.
I love it.
It looks like a cartoon come to life. It's very cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I like him too. When the show first opened, Timon, who is like a furry, like, walk-around character, didn't move his lips or make facial expressions. Instead, he just, like, used his hands and, like, mimed body movements and stuff to act out his lines. When the show reopened in 2014 in the Harambe Theater, his costume received the upgrade to, like, the talking version of the characters that was they were kind of doing for everybody right then. They were doing that for Mickey and Minnie, and I think some others got the talking... like eye moving talking thing. I can't remember.
I just remember Mickey.
Yeah, Mickey was like the big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they got rid of it. I think.
Well, no, I heard that the reason they got rid of it is because then, like, if there was another Mickey that a kid met and it didn't talk, you'd say, like, why doesn't this Mickey talk? The other Mickey talked to me. And it just got, like, super confusing.
It's just like the Santa at the mall. Like, that's not the real Santa. Go to the real Santa.
Hey,
So the voice of Timon is not done live. It's through show audio, but his mouth can now move and his eyes blink to go along with it. The show features props and floats, like we said, from that old parade. Everybody says that this is a Broadway level show. Like everybody's saying that, but I feel like these people haven't been to Lion King on Broadway then, because like Lion King on Broadway is like a beautiful, magical piece of art come to life with like the costumes, and like this, the costumes are very nice here. They're fine, but like they're not like it's like a fifth grader's paper mache jungle diorama compared to like masterfully done Japanese origami.
Like, okay, but you're comparing apples, and I mean, we're talking about like a quick show that is done seven times a day versus a show that's done once a night.
Yeah.
And it's, you know,
$200 ticket.
$200 ticket.
All I'm saying is that, like, you know, people shouldn't throw around, oh, it's a Broadway-level show. Like, no, it's a very good theme park show.
It's Broadway-level for some shows. Maybe not for The Lion King.
Okay, but it is The Lion King. Anyways.
I think that's tough. That's a tough tough point of view. I think this is the best of the best of, like... We did this when we did Tower of Terror as the first ride. I think we did it again with Lion King, where we start with one of the best. It's going to be hard to beat when it comes to costumes and pageantry. To me, out of the Disney shows, this is the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving it a 5 in this category.
You're giving it a 5. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to give it a 5, but I will give it a 4.
Okay.
There is incredible energy like throughout this one.
I just feel like it's vibrant and colorful. Yeah, yeah. And
like the acrobats, the puppets, the stuff happening everywhere. It's very vibey in general, and it's a good energy. It's a good vibey.
Yeah, you leave there feeling good.
Yes, I will agree with that.
Yeah.
For sure. Songs and scores, our next category. Song-wise, we have live singers, which is cool.
That is cool.
And they sing abridged versions of your favorite 1994 Elton John songs, along with, I think, a new jam or two. We have, as far as, like, the breakdown of the songs, we have Circle of Life, I Just Can't Wait to Be King, Hakuna Matata, Tumble Monkeys, which is, like...
I like that one.
Yeah, it's like a... A new jam.
Yeah, it's for this show.
Be Prepared, Scar's song.
You need it.
It's fucking bomb in this show.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really good. Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Emotional. This is a very emotional. This is with the two acrobats.
This is the two birds.
Yeah, the birds. This is a very... This one's
very romantic.
This gets a tear. It's very romantic.
Yeah, it's very nice. The Lion Sleeps Tonight, which is we all sing together.
Mm-hmm.
A little sing-along, which is really nice. Then we have the Celebration finale. Which is kind of like a new song, Circle of Life, and then I Just Can't Wait to Be King as an instrumental as we like leave the theater.
Love it.
Yeah. Nice mix of the best.
And
pretty solid.
Like, it doesn't, what I love about it, like ending on I Just Can't Wait to Be King, like it doesn't just, it's not just like a truncated movie, because that's a song in the movie that's very early on.
Yes. I mean, but they do it at the very beginning too, right? They do Circle of Life as the people like get in, and then they go right into I Just Can't Wait to Be King, but they do end with it too.
There's something about it that doesn't feel like it's like this truncated, like I don't love that. Like the Beauty and the Beast show, it's like...
Oh, this does not feel like a book report.
This is not a book report. This is the Festival of the Lion King.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
one of the things, we'll get to it in the next category, that I don't know if it's as successful.
Okay.
But we'll get to it.
All right, songs, I mean, again, I say best of the best. I don't...
Yeah, so it's Elton John, and then I want to make sure we give the credit where credit's due to Tim Rice, his music.
Okay, Tim Rice.
So cheers to the...
Cheers to that.
To Timmy's around the world.
Yeah. You okay?
I have a drinking problem.
Yeah. I'm stuck between a 4 and a 5 here, but I mean, again, these are mostly the movie songs, but I do love the Tumble Monkey song that's added to it.
Yeah, I like the original jams that they put in. I really like that it's live singing because you don't get that all the time in these shows.
And you feel that, like, they're out there and you feel like they're singing.
Well, they're doing slightly different versions, right? Yeah. Like, you're like, oh, like, oh, they took it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, they sort of did their own little thing to it.
Cool. So yeah. I think that this is one of the times where I think I'm agreeing with you. I think we're going tippity top.
Let's go. Fives for the tape.
Fives for the tape.
All right, we drink one for the actors.
Next up, the following category is story and humor. After the hosts welcome the audience to the show during that pre-show, and the curtains open, procession of dancers, puppeteers, stilt walkers, they all enter the theater. And then among them, we have Lion King characters like Simba and Pumbaa, which are both big puppets on floats. And then Timon, which is, you know, a furry running around. acts including the gymnastic tumble monkeys, a fire knife twirling quote-unquote hyena, and aerial dancers that are dressed up as birds, all kind of like, you know, do their thing. The birds are part of that Can You Feel the Love Tonight romance section, leading everybody into an interactive sing-along of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. And then the finale features reprises of all of the acts coming all together over a score and singing of Circle of Life. And then the story is... It is this festival idea. Like, it doesn't actually, like, manifest into, like, a story.
No.
Which, to me, is, like, the one, like, could... It's a very nice vibe. This whole thing is very vibey.
I feel like, it's more like going to, like, a Lion King concert.
Yeah.
It's not, like, it's not going to see the lion, which is what the Broadway show is.
Yes. It's a little bit weird to me that, like, the, like... Simba's the old Simba, and
right,
you know, like, is he there like to be regaled with his story? You know, he's like, he's on Pride Rock, and like, you know, all the animals are telling him his story.
Well, it's the festival of the Lion King, so if he's the Lion King, it's his festival.
Yeah,
you know, they do a similar thing in the Frozen, that like they call it, like, the story is supposed to be like it's the summer festival.
Yes.
So it's like the characters are, the story has already happened of Frozen.
Yeah, we're just reminding you. We're showing you how wonderful you are, oh great leader.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of dictatory, you know.
A little bit. Yeah, just like a little bit. Yeah. So,
all right. So the story is not 100%.
Yeah, for me the story could be like a little bit more I don't know, looped in, but it's a bop to vibe too, and I dig what they're throwing out there.
Sure.
On to humor. So every theme park show has to have humor in it, you know, along with heart.
You got to keep them interested.
Yep. This show, Timon is kind of like our jokester. He's like our jester.
He also is in the movie.
She sure is. Maybe he should have stayed in the movie.
Yeah, he's not. It's not the funniest.
This is not like that funny of a show.
No, there's funnier shows.
There's definitely funnier shows. It's pretty weak sauce that way. Timon, I don't know, hangs out with the monkeys, and they're mischievous a little bit. I guess people have crushes on them. That's cool. maybe Timon has a crush on them. I didn't put that out there. So
I didn't put that out there, but I did.
I wish that there was like, you know, maybe some other characters that were brought in for the humor. Like, I wish that Zazu showed up for the humor.
Like I was going to say, that was what my comment was. Zazu is, to me, he's in the line, he's the funny one because he's just ornery.
Yeah.
Like Statler and Waldorf. Like, he's like that. Like, even in I Just Can't Wait to Be King, he's he makes it by just everything he's saying. He's just like... He's pissed. He's just like, you know, chill out, kid. You're not alike. It's great. And, I think they could have done with... I thought Zazu could have been kind of like the host.
That would be great. But he was under new management.
Yeah, he's working he's working with DreamWorks.
He's working with Iago on a new Tiki Bird show. And maybe like the
Zazu wasn't available.
maybe like the hyenas... Like, the hyenas were really funny in that.
Yeah.
And, like, they could do, like, a Nazi goose step across, and, like, it would be funny.
I don't know. I don't like that.
Well, they could do something. They don't have to do, they don't have to go into their Nazi propaganda that the film film had.
There was, like, something really, really dark about that scene.
Yes.
But yeah, I think, like, yeah, you could have used the hyenas. You could Scar is funny. He could have been.
Scar's not in it. Scar's dead, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so it's all happens.
Yeah.
Mufasa's dead. Scar's dead.
But they could have at least, like, had the.
That's the thing about Hamlet. Everyone dies.
They could have had the Scar. The Scar. Lion's rug of his dead body, like they use in Hercules. Have you ever heard, like, the Disney timeline?
No.
We're gonna go into it a different. We'll do it on a different show because it's long.
Great.
But there's like this whole like concept of, like, the Pixar and Disney timeline where they, like, show you where each film happens, like, in order.
Okay.
And it's incredible.
That's kind of,
and there's
cool.
Like, there's, like, all these, like, little Easter eggs and stuff like that throughout that kind of, like, lead you to understand, like, what the timeline is.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, like, this happens, like, before the Greek gods.
Okay.
This happens, like, way in the past.
Okay.
Yeah. Accordingly. But according to this thing. But it's probably just, you know, animators, you know, trying to throw Easter eggs for fun.
Well,
anyways.
We love them for that.
Yeah.
All right, so the story.
So, story and humor.
It's not its strong point.
Not super great. I think I'm going to give it I think I'm going down to a 2.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the best.
Yeah, it's the one spot where it's like, you know.
So this is the end of our technical round, right?
We have one more. We have length of show.
Okay. Well, how long is it?
So we got 30 minutes in length.
There's
like a good amount of seating. So, like, you know, you'll probably get it, but it does sell out, and so you kind of have to get there like those 20 minutes before. So we're sort of looking at, like, you know, a 50 to an hour long minute long, like, chunk of your Disney day if you want to experience this.
It's a long
so
show.
Like, yeah, so, like, I think of it as, like, an hour. Like, if I'm going to do this, it takes an hour.
Yeah, it does.
By the time you, like, get in, get out, all that.
Yeah.
It's in the AC.
And, look, there's not a ton of stuff to do in this park. So, like, this is...
I mean, to be honest, you know, like, in my experiences at this park, this has always fallen on the, like... maybe we'll do it next time.
Me too.
You know,
I always wish I could. I mean, I don't go to this park a lot.
Yeah.
But if I get there and I don't get to see, I'll be like, oh, I'll do it next time.
Yeah.
But it, because it's one of those things, I know it's a time suck.
Yeah, I've done it one time.
And yeah, I think I've done it maybe 2 or 3 at most of all the times I've been there.
Yeah.
Maybe 3. Yep. But yeah.
I tried to do it one other time and we didn't get in.
Yeah, that's what happens to me. Sometimes I'll get there and I'll be like, oh, we're full.
Yeah, I definitely don't ever make it a priority.
Yeah.
So that's my own fault, I suppose. I don't really make any of the shows, like, other than, like, the Nighttime Spectaculars. Like, I don't really make any of them, like, a priority.
Yeah.
That's probably a mistake. Should probably do that more. I think 30 minutes long is, like, a great amount of time for a show.
Yeah, with all those songs. Like, now, I mean, there is a lot that goes on.
There's, like, 10 tracks and all that. And,
yeah.
And, you know, full, like, circus on show. The pre-show portion where they're talking to us and the animals and all that kind of stuff and, you know, make noises, you like that part. It's a solid, like, 6.5-7 minutes. I do think that they could cut, like, almost all of that out. I think that it could be, like, a lot shorter. I don't know if they're, like, using that to, like, you know, get people
situated
and settled
Definitely.
Down. Because, like, once the show starts, like, you can't have, like, people crossing these corners and, getting hit by an elephant, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're definitely doing it for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, stretching time or whatever.
Yeah.
But it does, like, that takes out, like, you know, a good significant chunk of this 30-minute window.
So that is included with this 30 minutes?
Yeah, that's included.
So actual show is probably, like, 23 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
All right. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, by the way, this was a 30. This technical is 30 points because there's, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The last one's 20 points.
Okay. do I want less show? Do I want more show? Or am I okay with the amount of show?
Yeah, so I think that's the question.
You want a little bit less. You want a little cut out.
I think that if it was a 25-minute show and they, like, you know, condensed a little bit of the real show and had, like, a 3-minute, 4-minute, like, intro, I think that we'd be, like, perfect as far as the timing.
I agree with that. I think I would like it to be 25 minutes in and out.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll give it... Maybe I'll give it a 4.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's probably 3.5 for me, so 4 on the books.
Yeah. 4. Okay, I have our scores here.
All right.
Give them out. So at the end of this technical round, Ryan, you've given it, out of possible 30 points, you've given it 20. I've given it a 23.
Okay. All right.
Solid.
Solid, yeah.
Solid scores.
So top tier is 25. No, it's 30. 30, yeah. Coming in. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have 20 points left to give. This is the heart level.
Right.
You know, typically when we do drink that ride, it's the fun level. Disney selling fun, but
shows are really
just as much as they're selling fun. They're selling, like, you know, this heartstring pull, this nostalgia, this, you know, like.
Yeah. Is your heart full when you leave the auditorium?
Yeah, this magical, like, overwhelming feeling that Disney's so good at providing.
And that is a little bit of a... I noticed, like, when I went to see, like, Muppet Vision 3D, like, you leave with, like, a more heartwarming feeling. Like...
Sure.
Than leaving, you know, Smuggler's Run, you leave, like, that was fun. It's a different, like...
Totally.
Yeah.
I think...
But all of that makes Disney what it is. You need to have both.
Difference, for sure. Yeah. I think that, like we've been saying throughout this, I think that it's super vibey, the show. I think that they're really fun versions of the songs, and they picked good songs to do. I think that there are some really great sights to be seen. The acrobats are all, like, very talented, very skilled. The fire jugglers, fun. Like, there's, like, you know, cool puppets. There's a lot going on, like, all around you. I like all that. And then at the end, after you've gone through all of this, there's a store called Mombasa Marketplace where you can get all your Lion King merch. And I think that that's kind of part of the fun.
That kind is of
part of the fun.
Fun
to be able
to
going
in there.
You know, like, get that merch going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not all the shows have, like, the exit through the gift shop type vibe, you know?
No, they don't. They mainly just let you out, throw your 3D glasses in a bin and hit the road.
There might be like a thing across the way, you know,
like a little kiosk.
Yeah, a kiosk or a cart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think this show, it would be cool if they had sold stuff in there that could, like,
light
enhance your show?
Like drugs?
Yes.
Make the pre-show longer, and we got a deal.
Like, if they gave out, like, instead of, like, you know, if you were in the elephant section, you got, like, an elephant hat. You know,
what I mean?
Like, I feel like that's one thing, like, I feel like would make people, like, everyone would be walking around the whole day wearing their little, like, whatever, paper, sort of like, you know, Burger King, but Lion King sort of paper hat or something. Because I think, like, of this, the way it's kind of set up and everything, it's kind of like a medieval times sort of, like, that whole, you know what I mean?
It's a little medieval timesy.
It is. So yeah. It's like, I would like to be able, that's one thing, and I'm only bringing it up in the heart level, that I always thought was missing. I was like, you know, they should do something to make you feel like you're, like, a part of it, and then when you leave, you're, you know... You're like, I went to that thing because you could tell I got my stupid hat on.
Oh, because you'd keep it.
Yeah, you'd wear it for the rest of the... If some people would throw it out.
Sure.
But I feel like in there, if everybody had on their hat or wherever their thing is, and you feel like you're part of a team.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's something there.
I don't know if I got the right thing, but I don't know. Or if they sold, like, something that lit, like, in the... Because then I feel like it really would feel sort of, like, circusy and, like, fun. That's a good cash grab for them. I'm not trying to, like, make them more money. But
yeah,
if
like
they
little fans that have, like, an elephant on it.
Yeah, maybe if you everyone got a fan or something that had, like, you know, whatever team you're on. I just feel like that's a cheap thing. Something paper to, like, do would make it even feel a little bit more like something.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think that that'd be a way to plus it up. I don't know if, like, I'm trying to think, like, would it increase my, like, heart feel.
I don't know about that. I think maybe it would be for fun. Like, I feel like if there was a funny like elephant hat that you were wearing, it would be. I can see like being like taking a picture of my dad with it on, or you know, like different.
Oh, for sure.
The whole family taking a picture with it on. Like, I don't know why. I just feel like it. Like, I feel like they just like, you're this section, but I feel like it should be like, you know, everyone gets their little thing.
And yeah.
I don't know. I could be just one thing that I always thought when I was in there. I'm like, they should do this. It would make it a little fun, little medieval times.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that would be a way to plus it up for sure. Like, to add something into it. And I think they could do it with like Burger King hats type stuff.
Yeah, just like a paper hat.
Yeah.
But I always leave this show. Usually I had cried, because I'll usually cry during the...
Can you feel the love tonight?
Yes. Yeah. It just gets me. And then the energy of, I just can't wait to be king as you're leaving. Like, I always kind of leave feeling very like, I'm so glad I did that. Like, that's one of those things that it's the same thing that happened at Muppet Vision 3D. I always leave going like, I'm so glad
I feel I like did that's that. Like, there's so many Disney things that I would maybe go into with like a little bit of like reservation, being like, we're going to do this. All right, fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and then I don't think I've ever been like disappointed coming out of like anything.
You didn't like American Adventure.
Oh, yeah, but they have the bop for the song, and it's at the very end. So like, you
America,
still spread your golden wings.
The only song about America that I really love.
but you're right. That one was.
That wasn't your fave.
It was a nice little nap in the afternoon. I needed a nap at that point. Maybe that was the wrong.
What about Hall of Presidents?
I mean, I like it.
I do Hall of Presidents. I want to say this. This is a hot take. I do it almost every time.
I like Hall of Presidents.
I don't know why. I just like doing it.
More than the American Adventure.
Yeah.
I like the story.
Me too.
I think it's about
I love seeing all of those animatronics. Like, yep. I'm always like, wow. Yep. And the fact that they call out every single president and like they say so, they nod or something. I'm like, this is something else.
It is cool.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
But this, I always leave feeling very like, this is one of, to me, it's one of the best shows. And I always leave being like, wow, I'm so happy to be here. And cool. That doesn't happen a lot for me in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. And over the next couple of years, you know, they're going to take down your favorite ride ever, Dinosaur. And so there's going to be some need for some filler in the day over there, because there's going to be.
They might make that park a park that I go to when they get rid of that section.
But that's when you're. Yeah,
I'll be like,
go.
Thank God that trash is out of there.
Oh, you're just a fraidy cat.
I am. All right, so 20 points, Ryan. You want me to go first, or you want to go first?
Go for it.
So I was trying to equate it to. I gave it 23 out of 30 in the technical rounds. I love that. I think that's like right where it's supposed to be. So I want to sort of stay in that way, in the heart level, I'm going to give it a 17.
Okay.
So I am going to have a total score, 23 plus 17, 40.
Okay. I think that I am coming in a little bit less than that.
Not surprised.
It's a great time, vibey. The Can You Feel the Love Tonight is a very beautiful section of it. That's like really the only time that like my heart is being pulled, I think.
Okay.
I think that I'm going to come in at a 15 out of 20. So a
38. That's not terrible. That's a 35 you gave it.
That's what I meant.
All right. So 35 and 40.
So it's a 37.
37.5. Tie goes to the show. So it gets a 38.
Done.
I think
we won.
That's a great score. 38 out of 50. I'm curious to see if any shows will be higher than it.
I'm also curious.
But I enjoyed doing this. It was a different type of a show today, Rye.
Yeah, different show about shows.
Show about shows.
Yeah.
It's very meta.
So there's a rumor of a Lion King attraction, a potential e-ticket, and an entire land coming to Studio Park at Disneyland Paris.
Okay.
And along with like a whole like Pride's Lands area.
Oh.
I think it's going to potentially be instead of. I'm not going to go into whatever it's supposed to be instead of because I can't remember.
So a Lion King ride.
It's going to be a Lion King ride and like a whole like land.
Okay.
I think maybe even potentially more than one ride, but definitely like an e-ticket. I've heard that it was going to be a
coaster.
No, a like
dark ride,
a water ride, like a Pirates of the Caribbean esque ride.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's also talk that we might in Florida get a ride as well that's based off of kind of like maybe like a dumbed down version of what they're getting.
And so if that one does well, we will get a dumbed down version.
Potentially.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see. Maybe we'll hear something at D23 this summer.
Maybe. That's going to be a good D23.
Yeah. Would you like, do you have any idea of like something that you would like to see Lion King related, like ride wise?
I would like it as a dark ride. I would go dark with it. I think Lion King is a dark movie.
Very.
But I would go sort of old school dark ride.
Okay.
With like a heavy scar section.
I like it.
I would end on a very like joyful Pride Rock. Rafiki, you know, getting up there and that moment.
Maza Pena,
you know,
holding the baby.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. I would like to see like a maybe a Pride Rock play place because I think that we don't have enough like play places, especially now that they got rid of the Dino one, right?
Yeah.
Or they're getting rid of the Dino one. So I'd like to see that, and then maybe like a Boneyard style roller coaster. With the hyenas as the protagonists. And so, like,
okay.
You're kind of, like, dealing with the hyenas the entire time.
Yikes.
I think that would be pretty fun.
That would be good.
Like, Velocicoaster, but tame.
Sure.
And instead of dinosaurs, there's little hyenas.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised there isn't any Lion King rides.
Yeah.
Well, another one. There's a couple of, like, movies that they just kind of didn't make rides on. Some that they just overmade them on, and some that...
That's the real weird thing to me is like the overmaking versus the not paying attention to it all.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah. Like Pocahontas, your favorite movie?
I designed a Pocahontas ride when I was like 12. And
yeah.
It's still, like, I still think about it. It still holds up. It's kind of like a flume ride.
The fact that there's no Pocahontas meet and greet in the America Pavilion is scandalous.
Yeah.
Like, why can't we meet her? I've never met her.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
There used to be, like, walk around Maki, the raccoon.
Oh, yeah, Miko.
Miko.
Yeah, they had him going around. Yeah, but yeah. I'd like to meet Pocahontas. She's our princess.
I agree.
Same as Tiana. Like, any American princess, I'm like...
Yeah, bring it on.
Come on. Sow some pride here.
For sure. Well, I think that we did shows proud today.
We did a show about shows, and it was great.
Everything that... It showed up. The Dark Ride
show off.
The Dark Ride is presented by Drunk History and is available every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're finding your podcast these days. Go and find us there. The show is free, but you can always pay us by simply liking and subscribing, giving us a 5-star rating and a quick review. Those ratings and reviews really help us out. We've gotten a few new ratings, reviews.
We have. Thank you to everyone that we read them. Thank you so much. There was a really interesting one on there where someone like really went.
Oh, they went like
they went neck,
poo wild.
Poo. We have a one on there that sounds like it was written by AI. And if it was, I'm happy about it. And because it was that level of good. If it wasn't, I'm like, what genius wrote this?
Yeah. Go take a look at our comments, our reviews.
But thank you guys. Yeah. We really appreciate that. Keep them coming.
Keep emails coming too. We've gotten a few. Emails. We just answered an email off of last week's episode. Go check it out.
Yeah.
If you want your question answered on the show, please write us.
And there's a lot of emails where people don't ask questions. They just will tell us about their trip and stuff, and we write back to them. So
yeah, write back to everybody.
Yeah, Ryan writes back to every one of them. So send us emails.
Great. Hit us up at our or check us out on our socials at the Dark Ride Podcast on Instagram and at Drunk Distry on TikTok. Tons and tons of great theme parks content on both of those. Thanks for joining us, and remember to always keep your kingdom cool.
Awe mawe, 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 awe mawe